Clark County.
Helena Mosley, Town of Yakima.
John Stelz, Mayor of City of Ridgefield.
Pete Capel, City of Kansas.
Tracy Bowman, City of Willard. Julie Olson, Clark County Council.
Michael Torres, Clark County.
Samantha Littler, Clark County.
Rebecca Royce, Clark County.
I'm no word.
Danny Moser.
Danny Moser. I'm just a citizen here at once.
Spouse.
All right, so everybody's got a chance to review the meeting minutes of March 12th. There's no changes, obviously, as mentioned.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, action plan update.
Well, it was reviewed and approved by the Board of County Councilors, and it's been submitted in the IDIS to HUD. And I don't, we probably will not hear back from HUD after 45 days. It will just be considered approved. There are a couple of modifications, though, already that we do want to make and discuss with the board. The first one is Habitat for Humanity. If you look at the minutes in the bottom column on the social service projects, project number 1910 is towards the bottom, the Evergreen Habitat for Humanity. We do an agency administration review after the proposals are approved. And part of it includes a risk assessment where we look at the organization's fiscal history, lines of credit use, just to make sure they're ready to receive federal funds. And Habitat did not pass their risk assessment. So we cannot award them those funds. We award them 62,741. So we've notified them that we will not be able to award those funds. So, and I don't know if you remember in the discussion, there was quite a bit of discussion in terms of how feasible the project was. It was 26 units. Were they going to be able to do the full 26 units with the amount awarded? So, the factors that went into them not passing the administrative review were they are running down their line of credit pretty continuously, and also they've been chronically late with all the information and documentation requests that we ask them to do. So those are the two primary things. And Sam, is there anything else you can think of that I'm forgetting in terms of Habitat?
They lost some points in prior, set under prior year reviews because they had returned their last two awards.
Right.
They lost points in that session as well.
Yeah.
That's this local chapter.
Evergreen. Yes, it's Evergreen Habitat. And actually, on one hand, I guess I wouldn't say not surprising, but in terms of the past several years that they have received an award, they've had to return, and then they've been, and even over the past several years, but since this award, we've had a lot of, get confirmation that they're accepting the award, even just late in responding. And then when our fiscal department did the review, they're like, we can't recommend, passing the risk assessment. So
that's a no for them on this award this is year.
Correct. And that doesn't preclude them from reapplying next year. And if they do reapply next year, we will make notes. In Zoom grants, but we'll talk about that next in the agenda as well. But we will make notes for you just to have in consideration. It doesn't stop you for voting for that proposal, but just to keep in mind as you weigh those decisions. The second change that we want to put in to the action plan is we received a phone call from the City of Vancouver, which did not fund or fully fund the proposal they received for Share Aspire TVRA. So a lot of agencies make a proposal to the county and make a proposal to the city under DARE Home and CDBG programs because they're separate. So, you know, for whatever reasons as they allocated the funds, the city did not fully fund Sheriff's Fire. Peggy Sheehan from the city called and asked, hey, we didn't fully fund them. Would it be possible for you to add funding to Sheriff's Fire? And I, you know, basically said, I do not know, maybe. That's something to discuss with the UCPB. You know, we do have some money on the table because we were, you know, we're receiving the funds that we were going to spend on Habitat. You know, that doesn't get expended. At the same time, under a separate funding process, you know, with the Homeless Crisis Response System, we have a separate request for application process. And SHARE applied for rapid rehousing dollars, and they did not receive full funding from us for that because we didn't have enough dollars to go around. So what we would like to propose, and the city did not tell us, did not give us an amount. I think, you know, we've heard anything from 70,000. I think really the city wants, you know, is asking, can you fund them with anything you have? And I believe they're underfunded by about just over $100,000 on the city side. We did not fully fund in the Homeless Crisis Response System the SHARES Rapid Rehousing application by about $79,000. So what we would propose to the UCPB is to use $75,000. We have 77 and change funds available right now. To use 75,000 of those dollars to award to SHARE TVRA as to fill in the gap from the Homeless Crisis Response System. So it would do two things. One, it closed that gap from what was not awarded to them in the homeless crisis application, and it would kind of meet the request of the city to put in funds to SHARE's TVRA since the city was not able to do it. So that's our proposal to you to consider. And that would be the two changes that we have planned out for a homeless action plan.
Is that the one that when they came in, they gave the presentation in regards to where they needed an elevator because they couldn't get people upstairs and the guy got no wheelchair?
No. So this the elevator was for the share house elevator. Mm-hmm. This is home tenant based rental assistance. So these are dollars that are used for people who have who are experiencing homelessness who get rehoused. So it's basically
okay.
Rental assistance dollars for about a year.
Okay.
I think it's like 6 months.
For TVRA, it's a year unless agreed upon otherwise between the landlord and the tenant, and it's been in the lease. The default for TVRA is usually a year.
Oh, it's not rapid.
Rapid rehousing is anything up to 24 months, but it's always like the shortest amount of time possible.
So
the average, the average in the county is about 9 months overall.
So I missed part of this. So is this unusual for them to come back? I know they didn't get a big grant that they needed.
SHARE has not come back to us formally. We've not had this conversation with SHARE. Because I wanted to have this conversation with you first. So what happened was that we got a phone call from the city of Vancouver because they did not fully fund, SHARE's TVRA because they just did not have the funding to do so.
So they made other priorities.
Correct.
So
oh, absolutely.
That was their, so I guess my question was, then they come back to us. Based on their priorities.
Absolutely. And just to be clear, you know, that's our recommendation. You don't have to do this. But the city asked, actually, and Peggy's here, she can talk to it, if we could fill in that hole, you know, to the shared TVRA program. And we do have some dollars available because Evergreen Habitat is not going to receive their award. And our recommendation to you is we also did not fully fund the SHARE Rapid Rehousing Program and the Homeless Crisis Response System. You know, it did get ranked and prioritized by the county. There just was not enough funding to fully fund it. So, so one way to kind of meet the city's request and close the gap on what the county had originally wanted to do would be to dedicate $75,000 of home TBRA dollars to that program. So that was the recommendation that, that we have as staff. But you do not have to do it.
Were there other requests other than SHARE that we didn't fully fund?
In the homeless crisis response system?
Yeah.
Yes. But none that we'd be able to use home and CPG dollars for.
So if we did not respond to the request, what would the funds otherwise be used for?
They would be moved into next year's award. You know, what's available.
So this is really the only opportunity for us to reallocate those funds?
No, not necessarily. I mean, but, you know, the likelihood is we would spend it, you know, we'd roll anything that's unspent this year into next year's award. Because we don't generally, you know, we don't consider new funding, you know, the process to get funded is the request for application process. And that's going to be closed until we reopen it in October. The only way we would use these funds between now and reopening the RFA is if the current projects need additional funding. And we would be discussing that with you because it's an action plan change.
Suffer.
Right.
Yeah. There's definitely an issue clearly there.
Yeah. But if you have any specific questions in terms of on the city side, you know, Peggy and Danelle are here right now, even though you're not a person, not to put you on the spot. But if you have any questions, that's, you know, there's an opportunity to ask.
Why are we thinking the 75,000 as opposed to the 77 that you said was available?
Honestly, just to keep the number around and, you know, and
that makes sense.
Yep. Fiscally easier to manage.
Easier to do things in increments of five.
It is, isn't it?
So it doesn't have to be 75.
Okay, I was just curious if there was a reason to keep a little bit in the pot or not.
No, there isn't any specific benefit to it. The only reason for 75 instead of 77 is to keep it around. Rebecca's giving me the look, but she's like, why aren't we doing 77? And Sam and I were like, well, let's keep it around.
What do you need an action or a motion of some kind?
I don't think we need to. I guess as long as you know and are in agreement with us making that change to the action plan, we'll go ahead and do that.
Concerns or objections?
Okay. Oh, thank you.
I also just want to recognize we had a couple folks come in.
Jeff Swanson, City of the Center.
Harry Grosher, City of Evergreen.
Oh. Okay, was that on that one then?
That is it on that one. Was Dale coming in for a point in time information? You know? Do we have the point in time count information? I thought Dale was coming into the minutes.
I was never given anything.
Okay, I apologize. We will move the point in time count information to a future meeting. And we were gonna have, I wanted Dale Wickley to be in here, but I did not communicate that effectively with the Council for the Homeless. This is a Michael issue. No, we will cover this in the next UCPB meeting because I wanted you to have an opportunity to hear what the results were on the point in time count with Park County that was done in January. So the information is just coming out. between now and the next meeting, like with the minutes, we will email you the information page that the Council for Homeless just put out on that. So you will be getting that in your email from this meeting.
All right, housing rehabilitation program.
We have a little PowerPoint. You guys, we also have a printout. Okay, it's been a couple of years since we've kind of given an overview of the housing rehabilitation, and every year we've set aside $250,000. So I'm just to let the board know this is what has been happening. This is what is going on with that money. So we have two types of homeowner rehab. One is for mobile home repairs, and that's limited to $8,000 as a grant. And the homeowner must be a senior or disabled and be below 60% area median income. So these are for mobile homes that are in parks. And we limited it to $8,000 because that's about the amount of a new roof, which is what a lot of them are needing, or some siding, rot repair. And we don't do loans on those because they're in a park. We can't leave the property. And then on the homeowner rehab side, it is a loan. It can go up to $40,000. There's no restrictions on the type of homeowner, and they have to be below 80% of area median income. And then the other requirements for the program are the same for both. They have to live there for at least a year. There's an asset limit. Their property can't be over, actually the $312,000 has been updated to $341,000 this year. That was last year's number. And one time per household. Questions about our rehab program? So over the last 4 years, we've seen 53 households. And it's about half and half split. The mobile home, we've done 26 of those and 27 houses. So it shows the total amount. I also put on there the staff costs over the last 4 years, and this includes our rehab inspector, and also we have a program assistant who spends about half of her time doing the legal paperwork to file the loans and working with the homeowners to make sure that all of their application pieces are together, because we require a lot of documentation for HUD, so we have to usually work back and forth with the homeowner to collect everything. We get their mortgage statements, we get their tax statements and social security cards. So it's a complex, little bit complex. It's like applying for a loan through a bank. So we do all of our due diligence, and costs about $8,700 per property on our staff time between Rich and Don. So the types of repairs are listed, mostly roofs. And I would say those are mostly the mobile home roofs, although that's the majority of our program is re-roofing people's homes. So that's an expensive thing. We see a lot of septics out in the rural areas, and Yakult, of course, that's kind of sewer system. That's just a brief overview. I wanted to put in, this is kind of a busy slide, but I wanted to put in to kind of talk about what the staff costs entail. So when the homeowner gives us an application, Don checks for eligibility, and then Rich goes out to the home and does the inspection. We can only do certain repairs that are necessary to be safe and habitable, and we don't put in jacuzzis or, I don't know, swimming pools or anything like that. It's just like the basics of what they need for a safe, modest home. They work together on the environmental review, because HUD requires that for every project. Rich does the specs, does a write-up, and then sends it out. The homeowner chooses three contractors. We have a list. They can choose more than three, or they can even choose somebody that they know, as long as they have our license on and insured, we'll add them to our contractor list. And then the contract is actually between the homeowner and the contractor. So it's their deal. We're just like the bank and the inspector. So after the contractor is selected, Dawn will do the promissory note, the truth in lending documents, the deed of trust. She files that with the title company, and then it gets under construction. And Rich is there for any. He is the most amazing, patient, knowledgeable guy that is. Anytime the homeowner has a problem, if there's a conflict with the contractor or the contractor doesn't show up, Rich is out there mediating and being the go-between, and he is the one who make sure on the final inspection that the homeowner's happy, the contractor's happy before we release the payment. So the homeowner has a little bit of protection there as far as what they're getting and who they're dealing with. And then we close out the project and file all the documentation. The next slide is showing our demographics, which is majority of the last 4 years has been white, 44 households. We have a couple American Indian, one black household, four Hispanic households, and two multiracial households that we assisted. And then also the majority of our program households are single women. So it's 33 single women that were assisted and 20 other types of households.
Does that, Ray, can I ask this pie chart, does that represent typically the county in terms of percentages?
No. That would be slight overrepresentation of Hispanic and underrepresentation of African American. So no, it's mixed. It does not reflect underserving communities of color. You know, I think among the different communities, there's some overrepresentation, some underrepresentation.
And then some more demographics. So also the majority of the households that we served in the last 4 years were elderly, age 62 and over, so that was 29 of the households. The moderate income, 11 households were moderate income, that's 60 to 80%. 19 households were low income, that's 50 to 60%, and then extremely low income is around 30% of area median income. And that's a lot of the households that are living in the local parks. I mapped all of the addresses that we served in the last 4 years to get a feel where everybody's at, where we're serving folks. We do not serve anybody that's within the city limits of Vancouver, since they also have their own rehabilitation program. And then I got a couple pictures. So this was a siding and roof replacement before and after. Wow, so much nicer. And I have, here's a mobile home that has a mossy roof and then a clean roof. I mean, a new roof, it wasn't as clean. And then I also got to snag this picture that was a bathroom rehabilitation. It's hard to see that there's a step up here with the tile and then a step over and down into the tub. This was an older single woman. And so we replaced that with an accessible, flat, easy to get in and out shower. That's all I have. But I can answer any questions or...
How many per year on average?
It's about 15 per year.
$250,000.
Set aside. We will add if there's program income that comes in from the loans that's specific to the rehab program, we will add that to the amount available in the rehab program, just like we do with other home and CDBG. If we have program income that comes in, it goes back into the same program that's available for the application awards. So with rehab, we set aside every year $250,000, and then any program income that came in the year before that gets added to it.
I have a question. So on the mobile home repair program with the $8,000, you don't go through all the since that's a grant, it's more verification of income. You don't do anything as far as house lift or anything like that because it's a grant.
Like in terms of like a loan?
Yeah, it's not a loan, it's a grant. So you basically verify that they're below that income level, and you basically work with a contractor on the list and you grant them $1 up to $8,000, right?
Correct. We make the payments directly to the contractor.
Right, okay.
And we do the income and asset verification. We verify that it's their only residence.
It's not a rental or whatever. And then also on the homeowner rehabilitation, you say it's a deferred payment loan through accessible interest. So when you're talking about deferred payments, so they aren't making payments right away, is it due upon the sale of their home when you're talking deferred? So tell me how that works.
So, yes, it is due upon sale of home, refinancing of home, death of.
Okay. So it's basically just set aside, they make the regular house payment, but whenever something changes with that refinance revenue, it's paid off for you guys.
Correct.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, very good.
And when it's paid off, it goes back into the kitty to.
Correct.
Support more homes.
So that's exactly how we would get any program income. And, you know, because it's program income that came from rehab, it goes back into rehab. Or goes back out the door via rehab. So.
One other question.
Sure.
Sorry. So when you're doing this, you also look at the loan to value of their current residence, so you know that you're going to get your money back. So meaning that, you know, so you have an appraisal on the home and you know that it's worth so much money, so you're pretty much guaranteed to get your up to $40,000 back.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Exactly.
Right.
I assume there's situations where the home is in such dilapidated shape that you don't want
correct.
To put a new roof on it.
Well, there are cases where due to the value of the home and what they're asking for, we will not do the rehab. You know, they just do not get approved. That
so the
happen.
Funding is secure, basically.
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready? Oh, sorry.
Hopefully you grabbed a copy of the quarterly report. So this report is for January through March for all of our CDBG and home projects. I'm not going to read through all of them, but for the most part, we've got projects that are on schedule. A couple of them that are a little bit behind would be the Washougal K Street and the Adams Street projects, mainly because I'm waiting for paperwork. So those, the construction is complete. We're just waiting to get all of the paperwork in so we can verify Davis Bacon and all of that. Bridgeview is complete. We thought all of the paperwork was done, realized we had missed a component, so I went back and have asking for additional clarification on some information. But that building is up and running, and I've been in it a few times. It's beautiful. So it's been a great investment in our community. The Woodland project, it has the engineering is going on right now, along with the Yakult Hope Street improvements. With the ESP 112, the modular has been ordered. They're just waiting for final permitting and trying to get everything logistically set up so they can place that modular. The Metropolitan Chamber has assisted 6 businesses so far this year for that project. The Salvation Army, they're growing together community center. If you haven't seen any pictures of it lately, I saw one last week, and it looks like all the framing is up and done, so that's coming along quickly. And then we have a whole lot of projects that we just recently funded, so that we'll be doing, we're starting our environmental review processes and getting the legal documentation straightened away for those. With home projects, for Reach Isabella Court Phase 2, the construction is underway. We did the environmental assessment for it, so we're partnering with the City of Vancouver, and they're doing the Davis Bacon monitoring for that. With Proud Ground, they have one home has been purchased with those funds, and they're working with other families as we speak. And then, again, there's more projects that have just recently been funded, and we're just starting to get in the process of doing the paperwork. On the last page, we consolidated all of our tenant-based rental assistance programs onto one page, so they're all kind of together. Community Services Northwest Check Program served 16 households. The Sheriff's Fire Program from 2017 served 98 households. That project ended in this report time period, and they have moved on to their 2018 award, where they have so far served 54 households. Lifeline has just recently started working on their tenant-based rental assistance program, so they don't have any logged in the first quarter of the year, but we should see numbers coming in for them shortly. And then Janice Youth has served 13 households with their 2018 funding as of the reporting period. Any questions about any of the projects that we have going on?
Okay.
I give an update on ours?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So I know this is only reported through March.
Yes.
So anyway, just want to let everybody know that our bids came back and we opened the bids with a low bidder. Will be awarded this next Monday at council, and we expect to start the project within 3 days. So everything's done. So we
we'll see that on
next. Yeah. We'll see you on the next one. So I don't like the behind schedule. Just let you know, we're not behind schedule in my mind. So.
The next quarterly reports
yes.
aren't even due yet.
We're
going to
be done.
No. Fantastic. That's what we want to see. Any other questions? Thank you.
All right.
Sandy, you want to talk about Neighborly?
Well, sure.
No, sorry.
I think we have mentioned it to the board maybe once before. We mentioned that we have a loan software system that's called CDM, Community Development Manager, and then we have the Zoom Grants system that you're all aware of to award the fund. Well, Neighborly is both of those things in one, and so we found that we would save money, and we were unhappy with our CDM system that's been over a year that they're supposed to make upgrades and changes to it. Nothing has been happening. So when we found out about this new software, we looked into it and we purchased it, and we're now doing the process of migrating our data and configuring it the way we want it to be set up. The rehab program will also be in here, and now this system will allow homeowners to apply online if they want and upload all of their information. So I don't expect with a lot of elderly people that they will want to use it that way, but this will have that capacity, and we will be able to run all of our applications, CDBG and home applications, through Neighborly. So this is probably the last year that you saw Zoom Grants, and Neighborly is a Windows-based cloud system, and so it's kind of a nice, they have tabs on the side for the different pieces of the application. We've liked it so far, but it's not fully configured, so we'll just keep you updated as we go.
So we'll be using one software system instead of two different ones. The cost is going to be lower. We think that the loan and project tracking is going to be a little bit easier. CDM really was maxed out in capability. It's been 3 years that we've been waiting for CDM, a long promised CDM update that keeps getting delayed. And we're kind of, you know, we feel that Zoom Grants, we've tapped out its potential. And, you know, it's been a good system in some places, both on the application process and the grading process. It could be a little more user-friendly and easier to read. So we're kind of excited about Neighborly as it develops. When we do the next RFA, you will be getting trained on it, you know, to get the access. I think you're going to like the interface based on the little bit we have seen so far. You're going to consider it an improvement, whether you like it or not. and then the other thing, just wanted to make reassurance, even though the capability to do online applications is going to be there and we will accept online applications, we're not going to be forcing everyone to do online applications. So, you know, for the households who don't have internet access, who who are elderly and are not confident in, you know, they don't feel confident in doing an online application, Don, is a staff person, really will be working with them and accepting paper applications, and we'll be doing the data entry for them as necessary.
You know, get all the bugs worked out before we go.
We hope.
That's so weak.
We hope. Yeah. I mean, to the extent that we can, we will. Oh yes. the reality, you know, we still work with some kinks with Zoom Grants every year, you know. So, but it should be more modern.
And Neighborly was like designed to manage HUD programs, so that's why it's like goes from beginning to end. It can do all of it, and even has like worksheets as part of the rehab to help it to put all the that pulls the information so that it's already can be uploaded to IDIS. Like, that's what it's meant to do, so.
That will be helpful.